أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا يحزنك الذين يسارعون في الكفر إنهم لن يضروا الله شيئا يريد الله ألا يجعل لهم حظا في الآخرة ولهم عذاب عظيم. إن الذين اشتروا الكفر بالإيمان لن يضروا الله شيئا ولهم عذاب أليم. ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب مهين. ما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب. وما كان الله ليطلعكم على الغيب ولكن الله يجتبي من رسله من يشاء فآمنوا بالله ورسله وإن تؤمنوا وتتقوا فلكم أجر عظيم. ولا يحسبن الذين يبخلون بما آتاهم الله من فضله هو خيرا لهم بل هو شر لهم. سيطوقون ما بخلوا به يوم القيامة ولله ميراث السماوات والأرض والله بما تعملون خبير. لقد سمع الله قول الذين قالوا إن الله فقير ونحن أغنياء. سنكتب ما قالوا وقتلهم الأنبياء بغير حق ونقول ذوقوا عذاب الحريق. ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد. الذين قالوا إن الله عهد إلينا ألا نؤمن لرسول حتى يأتينا بقربان تأكله النار. قل قد جاءكم رسل من قبلي بالبينات وبالذي قلتم فلم قتلتموهم إن كنتم صادقين. فإن كذبوك فقد كذب رسل من قبلك جاءوا بالبينات والزبر والكتاب المنير. كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة. فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. لتبلون في أموالكم وأنفسكم ولتسمعن من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم ومن الذين أشركوا أذى كثيرا. وإن تصبروا وتتقوا فإن ذلك من عزم الأمور. Going through Surah Al Imran, and today we're going to start from Ayah 176 from Surah Al Imran. And the last lesson I mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had differentiated between the munafiqeen and used the ghazwa of Uhud to make clear to the Muslims who was a Muslim and who was a munafiq. And during this battle, or before this battle, the Ra'is al-Munafiqeen took away almost a third of the troops of the Muslims under his leadership, basically making clear to the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims that these people that went with him were either weak of Iman or actually Munafiqeen. So, the beginning of today's ayat basically indicate the same kind of thing, that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows this to happen, and why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't punish people straight away? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually doesn't let people know the insides, meaning the interior of a person's heart, but really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets things go for a certain amount of time, and then after that He makes things clear. So this will be discussed, and then after that some issues which are related to the people of the book, specifically the Yahud, will be discussed. And after that, the issue related with death will be discussed. So three subjects will be discussed today, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first ayah addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people who are rushing towards kufr, they should not make you upset. They should not make you worried. And of course, this was a natural tendency of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whenever a person used to die without iman, he used to become very upset, because that person has now made himself destined for the hellfire. And again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to console the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tell him that he needn't be upset. In a couple of places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you may be going to destroy yourself because they're not becoming mu'min, they're not accepting iman. And in Surah Al-Kahf, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're going to destroy yourself in following their footsteps if they don't have iman. So again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to console the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and here again Allah is consoling the Prophet and telling him that people who are rushing towards kufr, they should not upset you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something that they have taken upon themselves and chosen for themselves. It should not upset you. It's not your fault. You tried your best. And in addition to that, Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Those people, most certainly, they will never harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, that very famous hadith Qudsi, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if all of the humanity had the most, most pious heart, or their iman became equivalent to the most pious person ever created, if all of our iman became just like the iman of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that would not increase the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. And if all of us became worse than even shaitan in terms of our iman and our disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that would not decrease the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't need us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our iman. He doesn't need our worship, but we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people that have adopted kufr and disbelief and nifaq, hypocrisy, إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا, they will never harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that they should not have any share in the hereafter. And this is the question that comes up in many people's minds, is that, you know, there's so many people who are so good in terms of their helping out other people, and they have such good manners, but yet they profess to be Christians, or they believe in other things. So what is it that such good people, they will not, you know, go to paradise, they'll not go to Jannah? So there are, you know, two ways around this. One is, if they did not get the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did not get a message from any prophet, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test them in some way on the Day of Judgment, and then He will judge them accordingly. But if the message of Islam came to them and they did not accept Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive them. This is not kufr and shirk is an unforgivable sin if you had been warned about it beforehand by the prophets. And as the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is clear, that means the people have been warned. And as for the good deeds that they do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for those good deeds in this world. He will reward them in this world, so then there is no share for them in the akhirah. This is what it means here. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that there should be no share for them in the hereafter, meaning they will get all of their good deeds, the reward for their good deeds in this world. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, and for them will be a very big punishment. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those people that sold their iman for kufr, meaning for any worldly reason, they basically gave up their iman, then for them is the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive them, and they also do not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. and for them will be a very painful punishment. And this is what happened with many people in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, that many people who were leaders of the Quraysh, they saw that the Prophet ﷺ had brought a very moving message. They knew that the Quran was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew that this revelation that the Prophet ﷺ had brought could not be man-made. But yet, because of their worldly, prestige or their position that they had, that they didn't want to give up, and the persecution they saw that the Muslims were enduring and they had to go through, they didn't want to be a part of it. So therefore, they basically rejected Islam for that, to keep hold of that worldly position that they had. And another group of people that could be involved here, or could fall under the category, is those people amongst the people of the book that basically didn't accept Islam again for their position that they had in the church or the synagogue. They didn't want to accept it, and this is what it means, that they sold their iman for kufr, for disbelief. Allah says they will never harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least, and for them will be a painful punishment. The next ayah, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِيمٌ. Those people, and again a question comes up in people's minds, that these disbelievers, they are committing sin after sin after sin. How come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment doesn't come to them? You know, and how come we look around the whole world and the most people that are in problems are who? The Muslim countries. Palestine, Kashmir, Chechnya, Iraq, and before this Bosnia, Kosovo, right now Sudan, and Ethiopia, Eritrea. You know, wherever you look, there seems to be always a problem with Muslim countries. How come no problem with non-Muslim countries? How come no problem with no non-Muslims? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the answer over here, that the people of kufr should not think that we are leaving them, meaning they're letting them go and not punishing them for the sin. This is good for them. No, it's not good for them. The more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets them go, their sin increases. And Allah does not punish them in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them in the hereafter. Whereas the Muslims, if they do something wrong, then their punishment will come early, and if they will be punished in this world. There's a story related to a Sahabi who started fooling around with a woman, not fooling around in the sense that we know it, but just started talking to her in an overly friendly way while she was in the street. And this woman, in the previous days, in the days of Jahiliyyah, she used to do bad things. So the woman basically reprimanded him and said, don't go back to the days of Jahiliyyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us out of that and gave us the nur of iman. And we're not supposed to do things that we used to do in the days of ignorance. So this person, as he turned around to walk away, feeling a little bit ashamed of himself, he basically knocked his face against the wall and his face started bleeding. And they took this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this, what happened to him, was a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, so that he doesn't get the punishment in the hereafter. So as Muslims, we need to know that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through problems, then it could be as a consequence of our misdeeds. And if it is as a consequence of our misdeeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins in the hereafter for that, and we should be kind of grateful for that. So anything, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if a person gets a thorn in his foot, a glass goes into his foot, or he gets cut, or anything simple as that, this is a means of the forgiveness of sins. Whereas the people of kufr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets them go. And Allah says that they should not think that they've been let go. أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. We are letting them go so that they increase in their sin. And they will have a very disgraceful punishment. They will have a disgraceful punishment in the hereafter. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ يَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَىٰ مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Now, addressing the Muslims, he He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not going to leave the situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not going to leave the people of Iman in the situation that you are in until He differentiates between khabith and tayyib, until He differentiates between evil and good. So, the munafiqeen, they persisted in their nifaq, their hypocrisy, and they carried on and on and on. So the question came into the people's minds that when is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to, you know, set the record straight and tell us when the munafiqeen, who are the munafiqeen, who are the hypocrites, who are the ones who are hiding their iman? So Allah is answering them here. Allah was not going to let the situation go for the mu'mineen until the khabith and tayyib had been openly declared. Khabith meaning the munafiqeen, and tayyib, the good people, the people of iman. And as we know already, in the previous lectures we've heard, that in Ghazwat Uhud, the people of nifaq basically openly walked off and said that we're not going to fight in this battle. Why? Because our opinion was not taken. You went out to fight in the battle of in Uhud instead of basically taking sanctuary in Medina and fighting from there, and you didn't take our opinion, that's why we're not going to fight. So they walked off. So this was the thing that differentiated the people of Iman and the people of Nifaq. So it was not a bad thing that happened necessarily, because now people knew who were the munafiqeen and who were the people of Iman. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not going to make you know hidden things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have that rule of giving people the information about hidden things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't allow that to happen also. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives this information to some of the prophets. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُولِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He chooses sometimes from the prophets whom He wants to give that information to. So the hidden things, hidden information, information about the future, information about who is a munafiq and who is a mu'min, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discloses it to the prophet, sometimes He does not. But the question, the order is to the people, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِكَ. Have iman in Allah and His prophets. وَإِن تُؤْمِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَلَكُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. If you have iman and you have taqwa, then for you is a very great reward. After that, the subject changes a little bit, and Allah talks about the people who do bukhl, who are stingy. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. Those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given from His fadl, from His bounties, they should not think, those people that do bukhl with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them from His bounties, they should not think that this is good for them. In fact, this is evil for them, this is bad for them. The fact that they are being stingy with it, this is bad for them. What will happen to them? سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The thing that they are doing bukhl with, the thing that they are doing stinginess with, it will become a tawq around their neck. It will become, tawq is the kind of chain which prisoners had put around their necks to basically show that they are imprisoned and to prevent them from escaping. So Allah says that they will be given a tawq that is going to be put around their neck. And basically, according to the hadith, their wealth will be turned into a kind of a snake, which would then become like a tawq around the person's neck. And for this, there's a few hadith it's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا فَلَمْ يُؤَدِّ زَكَاتَهُ مُثِّلَ لَهُ شُجَاعًا أَقْرَعْ لَهُ زَبِيبَتَانْ يُطَوِّقُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَأْخُذُ بِلِهْزَمَتَيْهِ يَعْنِي بِشِدْقَيْهِ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَا مَالُكَ أَنَا كَنْزُكَ. It's mentioned in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives wealth and he does not give the zakat of that wealth will be turned into a bald snake on the Day of Judgment, and it will have two dots Two dots basically signifying or indicating the poison that is in its fangs. Those two dots on his head or underneath his mouth somewhere, and that is indicative of the poison that's within him. And this snake, يُطَوِّقُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, it will become a طَوْق around his neck, and it will grab hold of his jaws. يَأْخُذُ بِاللِّهْمَ زَبَتَيْهِ يَعْنِ شِدْقَيْهِ, and he will say, this snake will say, أَنَا مَالُكْ, I'm your wealth, أَنَا كَنْزُكْ, I'm your treasure. So again, this is a very, very scary thought to a person who does not fulfill the zakat of his wealth. It's such a minimum amount, 2.5% of a person's savings. It's not really that much to give, but a person, if he's doing bukhl even with that amount, this is really embarrassing and shameful, and he should keep these kinds of hadith in mind. So, سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that wealth will become a طَوْق on the Day of Judgment. وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the inheritance of the heavens and the earth. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that you are doing. After that, the subject changes a little bit. Allah says, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Baqarah a verse, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Who is the one who will give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a loan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it many times over? So the concept of a loan is, when you give somebody a loan, what does it mean? You expect to get it back. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala terms it and defines it as a loan. But the Yahud, they basically twisted that around. And they said, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us for a loan. That means, إِنَّ اللَّهَ faqir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a faqir. He is a needy person. وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا, and we are the ones who are rich. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to that and said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard the saying of those people that said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ faqirun وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is faqir, he is needy, and we are أغْنِيَا. And there are a couple of stories actually mentioned about that. It's mentioned that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he entered upon the Jewish people, you know, the leaders of the Jews and the rabbis, and they basically, he talked to them and tried to give them da'wah and called them to Islam, and they basically responded that, what are you talking about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs us, we don't need him, na'udhu billah. And they referred back to this verse of the Quran that Allah is asking for a loan from us. So that means he is needy of us. So then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he basically, or Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, beat one of them up very badly. And this person went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain that, you know, look what Abu Bakr did to me. So in any case, when the case was presented to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he denied that he'd ever said it. So no, I didn't say anything, any such thing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in response to that, revealed the verse, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard the saying of those people who said that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ faqir, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is faqir, and we are rich. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا, we, most certainly we have written what they said, and also we have written قَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ, the fact that they killed many prophets without right. They had no right to kill prophets, but they killed them, and this is written in their history. Even according to the traditions, they tried to kill Jesus, which is very well documented. Even the Christians are aware of that. وَنَقُولُ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ, and Allah says, we are saying, or we're going to say to them, taste the painful punishment, or the punishment which is going to be the burning punishment. ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah is not a zalim, He's not an oppressor, He's not a wrongdoer, He's not unjust. It is because of what your hands sent forward. Whatever your hands did, and the actions that you did, it's because of that. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish people, and He's a zalim, and He's an oppressor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do that. It's because of your own misdeeds. Also, Allah says, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَهِدَ إِلَيْنَا أَلَّا نُؤْمِنَ لِرَسُولٍ. They also said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it incumbent upon us that we should not have iman on any prophet until حَتَّى يَأْتِيَنَا بِقُرْبَانٍ تَأْكُلُهُ النَّارِ, until he brings us with such a sacrifice that fire consumes it. And we mentioned before in previous lessons that the thing that was given to this prophet, our ummah, was that the spoils of war, they were allowed for us. In previous nations, what used to happen was that all of the ghanaim used to be gathered in one place, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send a fire from the sky. It used to consume everything, and this was a sign that the jihad or the efforts had been accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this was something that was basically specific for previous nations. So what they said was to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we want Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do the same thing. We want him to demonstrate to us by putting something, and we want a fire to come down and to consume it, and then we'll have iman on him. And they said that this is written in our books, and we won't have iman until he does that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to that and said, قُلْ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِي بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Many prophets have come before me with many, many different kinds of proof. وَبِالَّذِي قُلْتُمْ. And not only that, with exactly what you've just said. فَلِمَ قَتَلْتُمُوهُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. So those same people that brought exactly the same miracle, why did you kill them if you are truthful? Instead of having iman on them and believing in them, you turned around and killed them. So why did you do that? So really, it was not an issue of them actually wanting proof. They were just making excuses for not having iman in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. And again, consoling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again, that if they denied you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. There have been many prophets that came before you. They were also denied. There is nothing to be upset about. It is an everyday thing that happens to all prophets. So there's nothing to be worried about. جَاءُوا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُنِيرِ. All of those prophets, they came with proofs. They came with, you know, scriptures. And they came with a book which was full of light and nur. But yet this was not enough for those people to believe in it. And they basically rejected. So this is not something new, O Prophet of Allah. This has happened all the time. So don't be upset about this. Don't be worried about this. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with these people. There's a few verses left, inshallah. We'll do them next week. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said in terms of